The Angels of Mons, The Bowmen and Other Legends of the War, by Arthur Machen, 1915. Introduction. I have been asked to write an introduction to the story of The Bowmen, on its publication in book form together with three other tales of similar fashion, and I hesitate. This affair of The Bowmen has been such an odd one from first to last, so many queer complications have entered into it, there have been so many and so diverse currents and cross-currents of rumor and speculation concerning it, that I honestly do not know where to begin. I propose then to solve the difficulty by apologizing for beginning at all. For usually and fitly, the presence of an introduction is held to imply that there is something of consequence and importance to be introduced. If, for example, a man has made an anthology of great poetry, he may well write an introduction justifying his principle of selection, pointing out here and there, as the spirit moves him, high beauties and supreme excellencies, discoursing of the magnates and lords and princes of literature, whom he is merely serving as groom of the chamber. Introductions, that is, belong to the masterpieces and classics of the world, to the great and ancient and accepted things, and I am here introducing a short, small story of my own, which appeared in the Evening News about 10 months ago. I appreciate the absurdity, nay, the enormity of the position in all its grossness, and my excuse for these pages must be this, that though the story itself is nothing, it has yet had such odd and unforeseen consequences and adventures that the tale of them may possess some interest. And then again, there are certain psychological morals to be drawn from the whole matter of the tale and its sequel of rumors and discussions that are not, I think, devoid of consequence. And so, to begin at the beginning. This was in last August, to be more precise, on the last Sunday of last August. There were terrible things to be read on that hot Sunday morning between meat and mass. It was in the Weekly Dispatch that I saw the awful account of the retreat from Mons. I no longer recollect the details, but I have not forgotten the impression that was then on my mind. I seemed to see a furnace of torment and death and agony and terror 7 times heated, and in the midst of the burning was the British army. In the midst of the flame, consumed by it and yet aureoled in it, scattered like ashes and yet triumphant, martyred and forever glorious. So I saw our men with a shining about them. So I took these thoughts with me to church, and I am sorry to say was making up a story in my head while the deacon was singing the gospel. This was not the tale of the bowmen. It was the first sketch, as it were, of The Soldier's Rest. I only wish I had been able to write it as I conceived it. The tale as it stands is, I think, a far better piece of craft than the bowmen. But the tale that came to me as the blue incense floated above the gospel book on the desk between the tapers, that indeed was a noble story, like all the stories that never get written. I conceived the dead men coming up through the flames and in the flames and being welcomed in the eternal tavern with songs and flowing cups and everlasting mirth. But every man is the child of his age, however much he may hate it, and our popular religion has long determined that jollity is wicked. As far as I can make out, modern Protestantism believes that heaven is something like evensong in an English cathedral, the service by Stainer and the Dean preaching. For those opposed to dogma of any kind, even the mildest, I suppose it is held that a course of ethical lectures will be arranged. Well, I have long maintained that on the whole the average church, considered as a house of preaching, is a much more poisonous place than the average tavern. Still, as I say, one's age masters one, and clouds and bewilders the intelligence. And the real story of The Soldier's Rest, with its sonus epulantium in eterno convivio, was ruined at the moment of its birth, and it was some time later that the actual story got written. And in the meantime, the plot of The Bowmen occurred to me. Now it has been murmured and hinted and suggested and whispered in all sorts of quarters that before I wrote the tale I had heard something. The most decorative of these legends is also the most precise. I know for a fact that the whole thing was given him in typescript by a lady in